You are listening to ebuzz.com. Muhammad Rasulullah alayhi salatullah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد Respected listeners, my dear elders and brothers, my dear mothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We just heard the recitation of the part which we intend to continue whilst doing this tafsir. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. I am going to speed up a little bit. Unfortunately, we have left out so much already and we might have to leave out a little bit more. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. I am pressed for time. Obviously, the surah, as we said, is a school. We cannot speak enough about it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our minds to that which is beneficial and make him, and we ask him to make us we ask him to grant us the understanding and grant us the ability to comprehend that which is intended. Yesterday we stopped at the point where this wine pourer went to the king and not only gave him the interpretation of the dream, but he also provided the solution. Now in amazement, and any king or any man in authority would be, just even a headmaster in a school, if his tea boy came to him with the solution to a major problem that he had, or even in the home, if the lowest in rank would come with a solution to a major problem, you would obviously be amazed and question, where did you get this information from? And if you were told that so and so gave me this information, you would say, let me see this person. Can you please bring him to me? So the king, he was amazed at the aptness in the interpretation of the dream and the solution that came. So he immediately commanded that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam be brought to him. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ الرُّسُلُ قَالَ ارْجِعْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَاسْأَلْهُ مَا بَالُ النِّسْوَةِ الَّتِي قَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنَّ. So when this wine pourer actually got to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and said, good news, the king has requested you to come out of the prison, he wants to see you. And who wouldn't jump at that opportunity, the opportunity to actually come out of the prison? Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says that return to the king and tell him to ask what was the reality of the situation. Ask him to ask the women of the city what really transpired between him and then when they actually cut their hands. مَا بَالُ النِّسْوَةِ الَّتِي قَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنْ إِنَّ رَبِّي بِكَيْدِهِنَّ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Rabb is all knowledgeable of that which they did. So this teaches us also that he didn't go out and start saying things about them, that, you know, go and tell the king to ask them what they did. They enticed me, they oppressed me, they got me into a situation and they put me against the wall, and then they are the ones, after doing all this immoral activity, they oppressively jailed me when I was totally innocent. He didn't mention any of these things. Obviously, we discussed time and time again, his trust was in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as his relationship with Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, was intact, was totally intact, was totally in order, he didn't care about the rest. In his heart, that which worried him was his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a lesson for us, that we should really be worried about that which affects our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to our wives, to our children, in our businesses, in anything and everything that we may do, we need to make sure that we stop and think and make sure that this thing that we are about to say, or this thing that we are about to do, is it beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If it is, I will continue with it. If it's not, I will refrain from it. Why? Because at the end of the day, the happiness and sadness of the people is not important. The happiness and the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the criteria, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger and me staying away from it is the criteria, because to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we will all return. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't say that, listen, this is what they did to me. He just says, inna rabbi bi kaydihinna alim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowledgeable of what they did. Now, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam here amazingly denies to come out of the prison. And remember, in the first circumstance, when he was approached by this wine pourer, despite the circumstances, the wine pourer wasn't obliging to the request of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Yusuf didn't sulk and act selfish. He didn't say, I'm not going to tell you. He wasn't selfish. He didn't put a condition. Remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I am amazed with Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam and his generosity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, that I'm amazed with the patience of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam and his generosity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. Why? Because when this person came for the interpretation of the dream, Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam obliged totally. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if it was me, I wouldn't have helped them, or I only would have helped them after they put the condition that they would take me out of the prison. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam showed his superior character and quality. He wasn't selfish. He solved the problem. Now here, he places a condition. He's being asked to come out of the prison. So the request that's being made is not in regards to anybody else. If it was in regards to anybody else, like the first circumstance, the king wanted to know the interpretation of this dream, he obliged. Now it's got to do with him. So if he doesn't oblige to the request, he's not being selfish. So now here he sets a condition. He says, look, I will not come out of the prison until and unless we find out, or you people actually set the record straight to actually what transpired between myself and them and the reason to why I am actually in this prison. So this is the, you know, this is something that one can't help but be amazed. You know, the patience of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam acknowledged the aspect of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's patience. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam here sets a condition. We learn a thing from what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam just did. We learn many things, but we can't mention everything, of course. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam shows us here that he had both types of patience. Al-ittirari wal-ikhtiyari. We are taught in Islam, or the ulama have made clear to us, that there is patience where you have to be patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you with difficulties. Maybe, you know, you got married and the marriage didn't work out, and you know it ended up unfortunately in a divorce. Obviously for the ladies this is very difficult. They go through depressions, they suffer intense sadness, and we have seen cases whereby they even stop eating. They go through this extreme depression. It affects their lifestyle, it affects their weight, it affects the way they carry on. So maybe Allah tests them. They went through a divorce. Some people might lose their children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might test somebody by taking away a beloved person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might test somebody by actually making a business venture go bad. So many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can test. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He loves you, He will test you. Not that you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test you, but you should be patient when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. So when Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Al-Wahidul Qahhar, when He tests you and you exercise patience, this is known as as-sabr, meaning the patience when you have to be patient. Al-Ittirari, you in a circumstance where you have to be patient and you exercise this patience. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, throughout the whole story, throughout every circumstance, he was exercising this kind of patience whereby he was patient. He had to be patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was testing him. He went through trials, tribulations. He went through so many circumstances new to him, foreign to him. He's a young boy. He's growing up. He's learning. There's nobody to guide him. All these circumstances he went through, he put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he was patient. Now he shows that he also possessed another type of patience. This type of patience is a patience where you choose to be patient. Over here, he's being told to come out of the prison, but he chooses to be patient. He says, look, I want to remain patient here. So he's not being faced with a difficulty. In fact, this is assistance where you're a free man. Come out of the prison. The king wants to see you. But he chooses to be patient. Subhanallah. So he possessed both types of patience. One where he had to be, he passed it with flying colors. And where he chose to be. Obviously, he's choosing to be patient for a maslaha, for benefit. Obviously there's a reason and there's wisdom behind him actually saying, listen, I choose to stay here for certain reasons, and unless those reasons are met, I won't come out. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam shows that in circumstances he also had the ability whereby he could choose to be patient and survive that with no problem. The ulama also teach us that when it comes to patience, we have three types of patience. Obviously, I just mentioned the two categories whereby you are forced to be and you are, and when you are not forced to be and you choose to be. That's two aspects. But there's also three subcategories we can say. And that is as-sabr fi ta'atillah, was-sabr fi ma'asiyatillah, And the third aspect is as-sabr, as we said, in times of difficulty. So the first kind of patience taught to us by the ulama, and that obviously whatever the ulama teach us is not from their minds or from their own selves, obviously from the sharia, and the sharia teaches us this is patience whereby you are patient in regards to your obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the five times daily salawat, the aspect of paying your zakawat, being kind to the poor, involving yourself in activities that bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inviting towards good, preventing from evil, this requires patience, especially when you have shaitan working and antagonizing you from the other side. He doesn't want you to read salah. And we always say this, you know, when it comes to watching a football match, which is 90 minutes, we can do it no problem. In fact, we'll make an environment out of it. Put the surround sound speakers, make sure we get a whole lot of friends home, ask our wives to bring the different eats that they can, and we make a proper occasion out of it and we have a good time. But when it comes to salah, which is only a few minutes, it's extremely difficult. Why? Because you have shaitan on the other side antagonizing you. However, a believer knows that as-salah is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the gift which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And despite shaitan antagonizing him, he is going to be patient in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make sure that he and or she renders their salawat at any place, at any time, in any circumstance. So this requires patience. And in the same way, in taking out from your assets a percentage to pass on to the poor, this requires patience. So, as-sabr fi ta'atillah, you are patient in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the second patience is, you are patient in staying away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you should stay away from. So this is also difficult and requires patience. Why? Because in this circumstance, shaitan doesn't antagonize you. He's pushing you. He pushes you and your nafs and everything. He beautifies this haram. He deceives you and makes you feel that there is benefit in it for you. And the only thing stopping you from doing it is because you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that you can't do it. So you stay away from drinking alcohol, despite how beautiful it may seem. You stay away from the evil environments of discos and casinos, the aspect of gambling, of engaging in drugs, of letting your children dress how they want, even though there's this pretty dress that is in the shop window and you may like it and it's so attractive to you and you feel my child has to wear this, but you know that this dress is too revealing. The only thing that stops you from getting it is your fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know you are a believer and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want for your child to dress in this manner. So you are patient by not buying that particular dress. You are patient by not doing that certain haram. You are patient in not consuming alcohol. You are patient in that you don't gamble. You are patient in making sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every circumstance is happy with you and you don't do anything to earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also a type of patience. You are patient in making sure that you stay away from all that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared as haram and commanded us to stay away from. And then the third type of patience obviously is patience when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you with different difficulties and you are patient in it and you pass through the test as Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did. And we did say if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, He will test you. Allah has mentioned to us that, do you think it is enough for you just to say that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested all those before us. He tested the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the world. This is not Jannah. If it was Jannah, we wouldn't suffer these depressions and these anxieties. We wouldn't suffer poverty. We wouldn't suffer from sadness and all those things that make people sad, from the killings and the wars and the oppressions, etc. This is not Jannah, respected elders and brothers. This is the world. It is the testing ground. It is the land of agriculture, whereby you plant your crops and put the necessary phosphates and potassiums and chemicals and fertilizers and make sure that you have strong crops to reap in the year after, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be entering you into Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst all those who enter Jannah, and not just any Jannah, Jannah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam showed us these characters or these qualities that he possessed. And I did say that he didn't go on, you know, a speaking race whereby he started just pouring everything from himself, that this is what they did to me and this is how they oppressed me, and you know, something has to be done. As we get some people at every opportunity, if they feel somebody wronged them, they choose to go on and on about it, and everybody that they see, they feel it appropriate that they tell them of the wrong that somebody did to them, and this is not important. Why? Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says here, I don't have to say anything. Why? Inna Rabbi bikaydihinna alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowledgeable of what they did. And we need to learn from this that if somebody wrongs us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowledgeable of what those people have done. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this point mentions to the Sahaba, وَلَقَدْ عَجِبْتُ مِنْ يُوسُفِ وَصَبْرِهِ وَكَرَمِهِ وَاللَّهُ يَغْفِرُ لَهُ. He said the same thing in the first hadith when he was talking about how Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam assisted them with their problem. Here he says, I am amazed with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and the patience that he has exercised and that he has and the generosity that he has, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. حِينَ أَتَاهُ الرَّسُولُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُ فِي مَكَانِهِ لَبَادَرْتُهُمُ الْبَابِ وَلَكِنَّهُ أَرَادَ عُذْرًا. If I was in his place and this wine pourer came to me and said, listen, the king is telling you to get out of the prison. It is a chance for you. You are free. If it was me, I would have rushed to the door and I would have got out as quick as possible. Subhanallah. Walakinnahu arada udhr. But he exercised patience and he said, I will only come out until, you know, I receive an apology, until my name is cleared, until the truth or the reality of the situation that transpired between myself and them is actually clarified. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here also acknowledges Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam's superior character and quality. So now the king says, okay, he listens to what the wine pourer has to say, the servant, that listen, Yusuf said, I'm not coming out until you do this thing here. So immediately he addresses the ladies of the city and he says, قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُنَّ إِذْ رَاوَتْتُنَّ يُوسُفْ عَنْ نَفْسِي. The king said to the women, what was your condition when you tried to seduce Yusuf? What was the condition? What was the reality of the situation? So what did they say? They immediately answered, and look how they answered. They said, حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Such perfect words they use. They said, Hasha lillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Ma alimna alayhi min su. We know no evil about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. There's nothing, there's no wrong that we could pick from him. If you told us to study this person and pick out the slightest wrong that this person could have had, there's nothing for us to pick. We don't know any evil aspect of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, and only He can create a person with such beauty, with such handsomeness, both on the outside and the inside, in that, as we said before, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was chaste. So the women here cry out Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's innocence. And this teaches us the reward of one who is patient. He didn't sacrifice any of his principles. He was patient, he had his heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing mattered to him as long as Allah was happy with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not waste the reward of those who do good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not waste the reward of those who are from the believers. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's patience actually pay off, whereby they themselves are declaring Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's innocence. And not only that, now we'll even hear that the main culprit, who was the minister's wife, she's going to speak out. What does she say? قالت امرأة العزيز الآن حصحص الحق. The wife of the minister of Egypt said, now the truth has become evident. The truth has become apparent. The beans are spilt, so to say. Subhanallah. She said, الآن حصحص الحق. As much as she tried to keep it a secret, the beans are spilled. Meaning she even locked Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because she realized that he's not going to fall for our plot and our plan, and he might spoil our name. Let's lock him up and put him away. So here she says, Al-ana hashas al-haq. And as we said, it's a colloquial statement whereby you say the beans are spilled, meaning the truth has come out. As much as you try to hide it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon all able. The women who were present, they spoke out and portrayed Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's innocence, and she was left with no choice but to say the truth has become apparent, the truth has become evident. Then she says, أنا راوتته عن نفسي. وإنه لمن الصادقين. لا إله إلا الله. Look at Yusuf عليه الصلاة والسلام here. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with all his protection, with all his wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here clears the name of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Here, the main culprit herself, the wife of the minister of Egypt, says, I am the one who sought to seduce Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and indeed he is of the truthful. I am the one who tried to seduce him. I am the liar. I am the one who oppressed him. I am the one who has done wrong. And he is totally innocent. He is totally truthful. So we see the reward of one who is patient. And how did the truth come out? It came out extremely easy. There was no big fuss, no big war, no big law cases and lawsuits making, you know, a mountain out of... this was a mountain. This was a big situation. Meaning the aspect of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam actually being jailed in a situation whereby he was innocent. This is a big issue. This is serious. But Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saved everybody unnecessary aggro, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said, does not waste the... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not waste those who are of the good doers and those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not waste their actions, does not waste their du'as, does not waste the trust that they have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the culprits themselves here cry out the innocence of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So she says the truth has become apparent, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is from those, or from amongst those who are truthful. Then she says, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمْ. She continues, أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْكَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. This is so that my husband, who was her husband? The minister of Egypt. This is so my husband knows that I did not betray him in his absence, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide the plan of those who betray. This is what she says. Then she says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. She continues and says, and I do not make myself innocent. I'm not trying to make myself innocent. Indeed, the soul is a persistent enjoyer of evil. The soul is inclined to evil. The soul is inclined to all that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made haram. The soul is inclined to all that which shaitan makes beautiful. This is what she's saying. I don't make myself innocent. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I'm not trying to act as somebody who's free from sin. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And indeed, my Lord is the most forgiving, the most merciful. So, this is what she says. Now, just for beneficial purposes, there are three interpretations of these verses that I just mentioned. From the point from the place or the ayah where she says الآن حصحص الحق, or after that ayah أنا راودته عن نفسي الآن حصحص الحق, that is synonymous and the ulama of tafsir are in agreement that she was the one who said it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says قالت امرأة العزيز الآن حصحص الحق. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the minister's wife said that the truth has indeed become apparent. So in regards to this, the ulama of tafsir agree that she is the one who actually spoke this. However, after that, from when she says, or the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمْ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ, from that ayah, the ulama of tafsir have mentioned three interpretations. One interpretation, and this is the strongest one, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is that which I mentioned just now. That she is the one who's speaking. She is the one who said all these things. I'm the one who enticed him and seduced him. He is the one from amongst those who are truthful. This is so that my husband knows that I didn't betray him in his absence. She's telling her husband that, look, despite all that I did, I didn't go the distance. I didn't betray you in your absence when you weren't there. So I'm actually making clear here that I didn't do anything behind your back. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْكَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide the plan of the betrayers. And she is the one who's saying that I do not make myself innocent. So this is one interpretation, and this seems the strongest. However, for beneficial purposes, I'll mention what some other ulama of tafsir have contributed. There is another interpretation whereby the statement ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ, the person who's saying this is actually Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, not the minister's wife. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, this is so my master. Who was his master? The minister of Egypt. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, this is so my master knows that I did not betray him. Meaning in sleeping with his wife. This is so my master knows that I did not betray him in his absence, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide the plan of the betrayers. So this is a second interpretation. The first interpretation is the minister's wife speaking. The second interpretation is Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam speaking. There's a third interpretation, and in the third interpretation it is mentioned that the wife of the minister of Egypt is talking, just as she did in the first situation I described. However, she's not talking about her husband, she's talking about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. She's saying this, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمْ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُونْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. This is so that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam knows that I didn't betray him whilst he was in the prison. I didn't go out spoiling his name and saying that he did things which he didn't do whilst he was in the prison. لَمْ أَخُونْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. I didn't betray his trust in his absence. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide the plan of the betrayers. And then they say that it's Yusuf, and then obviously they continue, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. However, as I said, the strongest opinion is that out of the three, just as a recap, I hope I haven't confused anybody here, but this is for beneficial purposes. The three statements are, in the first place, the wife of the minister is speaking about her husband, that I didn't betray my husband whilst he was not present. The second interpretation is that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that I didn't betray my master whilst he was absent. I didn't betray my master by engaging in any immoral act or activity with his wife whilst he was away. And the third interpretation is that the wife is speaking, but not about her husband, about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. This is so that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam knows that I didn't speak bad about him whilst he was in the prison and spoil his name whilst he was in the prison. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and I told you this is the power of the Arabic language, more than one interpretation. You know, this, it's so deep, subhanallah. But obviously, the strongest view is the first one that I mentioned, that the wife is actually speaking, that I, or this is so that my husband knows that I didn't betray him in his absence. Why do I feel, or in fact, majority of the ulama of tafsir feel that this is the strongest opinion? This is because she's the one who said, Al-ana hashas al-haq. Remember I said at the beginning, the ulama of tafsir are in agreement that she's the one speaking here, because Allah said, qalat imra'atul aziz, that the wife of the minister said, Al-ana hashas al-haq, that now the truth has become apparent. So the context shows that she is the one who is speaking. So this is why this seems like the strongest opinion, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And once again, we can't help but be astonished with the power in the Arabic language and the power in the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, a few points to mention. Here, the women actually cry out Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's innocence. Right? This teaches us that no matter how much bad we find in people, no matter how much bad qualities we find in people. You know, you look at somebody, you think this person has this problem, that problem, that problem, that problem, and that problem. So there's so many bad points you can pull out of him or her. No matter what you can say about them, there will always be good qualities. Remember, they were bad in that they enticed Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, or they tried to entice him, they tried to seduce him. However, over here, they are honest, and they're saying that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is perfect, meaning Allah is perfect. There is nothing that we could find in Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. There's no evil we could find in him. So we learn that no matter how many bad qualities a person can have, there has to be a few good qualities in them. And we learn this from here, that look at these women, despite their earlier actions here, they are truthful. And a person who is trustworthy, or a person who is actually truthful, that's a praiseworthy quality. That's something praiseworthy we can say about that person, that this person is honest. So we learn that they also had good qualities in them. And this is in, or we use this principle also in regards to our spouses. if a husband looks at his wife and he sees that she's got good qualities, he shouldn't concentrate on the, if he feels that she's got bad qualities, he shouldn't concentrate on those bad qualities. She also has good qualities in her. So if you see bad qualities in her, think of the good qualities that she has, because definitely she would have more good qualities than she would have bad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon all knowledgeable. This is what we learn from this. Now I just want to mention something before continuing. We spoke about وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ. Subhanallah. This ayah talks about the soul and the inclination that it has towards evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says النَّفْسَ أَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ. And those who study the Arabic language will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the expressive form of the verb صِغَةُ الْمُبَالَغَةَ أَمَّارَةٌ عَلَى وَزْنِ فَعَالَةٌ. On the scale of fa'ala, that means he is expressively he's expressively placing this verb to us to give us an understanding of how much inclination the soul has towards evil. Ammaratun bisu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says wa amma man khafa maqama rabbihi wa nahana nafsa 'anil hawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions the nafs over here, that a person who fears standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, and he puts an end to the evil inclinations that his soul has to its desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us wa nafsin wa ma sawaha fa alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha, and the soul and that which it does. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we inspired the aspects that are good for it to do, and we also inspired to it the aspects that are bad for it to do. Meaning, we inspired to it the do's and the don'ts. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned regarding the nafs, ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna. And this is, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to the soul that is actually, the soul that lived its life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh content. Nafs, irji'i ila rabbik, that return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala radiyatan mardiyya, in a state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you, and you are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ulama have mentioned, some have divided the aspect of the soul into two categories, and some have divided it into three. Some have said that you have a good nafs, which is the nafs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises. And some have said, so the first group, if we categorize the nafs into two categories, you have the nafs which is good, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises. And then you have the nafs which is bad, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't praise. And some ulama have actually divided it into three categories, where you have an-nafsul mutma'inna, an-nafs ammaratun bisu, meaning the good nafs and the bad nafs, and then a third one, an-nafsul lawwama, the self-reproaching nafs. The self-reproaching nafs, that when you do something bad, it reproaches itself. Or whatever it does, there is self-reproachment. And the ulama who said that nafs is divided into two categories, they said that nafsul, meaning the two categories are nafs ammaratun bisu, the evil nafs, and the good nafs, which is ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. So you have nafs mutma'inna, which is the good nafs, and nafs ammaratun bisu, which is the bad nafs, and the nafsul lawwama is in between both of them, or you can fit it into both categories, which is the good nafs and the bad nafs, because this is a self-reproaching nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What we need to learn from this, respected elders and brothers, that all of us have nafs. We have desires. Our soul, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is inclined towards evil. We need to be from amongst those who self-reproach ourselves, deny this nafs. We always have to put a stop to it. It wants to listen to music, you say no. It wants to do haram, you say no. You want to let your children go out to mixed gatherings, you say no. You want to go to a mixed gathering, you say no. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is haram and you're not allowed to do, and this nafs wants to do it, you put a block to it. So no listening to music, no lying, no backbiting. Anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, each time you put a block to it, you are self-reproaching your nafs. And what happens is, you convert this nafs, which is ammaratun bisu, you convert the soul, which is inclined towards evil, from ammaratun bisu to what? Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna. You convert it to the nafs which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out at the time of death, that, oh content nafs, return to your creator whilst in a state of happiness. So this is what we have to learn from this, that our nafs is inclined to evil. And not just inclined, inclined to evil in a manner which you cannot comprehend. Ammaratun bisu. Anything wrong, it's inclined to it. You have to have patience with your nafs, and you have to antagonize your nafs and go against it and convert it to what? A nafs which is radi, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out at the time of death and says, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna. So this is a lesson for us in regards to the nafs. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who can actually work against our nafs and conduct ourselves in a manner that we are happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ. So now Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's name is cleared. So the king says that, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ. And before I say this, I think we're running out of time, so I just want to mention a point that has cropped up to mind. Before continuing with the tafsir, inshallah, we can continue tomorrow. SubhanAllah, the time is just never enough. But I want to mention the aspect of this ayah whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says or narrates those people are saying that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide in wa anna Allah la yahdi kayd al kha'inin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide those who kha'inin, who cheat, who are not honest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide the plan of the betrayers. This ayah reminds me of the ayah whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah la yuslihu amal al mufsidin. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make correct, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not support the way of those who are mufsideen, those who commit wrong and fitna in the land. When you read this ayah, you can't help but think of this ayah, Inna Allah la yuslihu amal al mufsideen. Sunnatullahi kawniyya. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his creation, respected elders and brothers. Before the time comes to an end, know and understand that Inna Allah la yuslihu amal al mufsideen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not support the way of those who commit wrong and of those who actually commit injustice. Anyone who does something with ulterior motives, you would tell them, Inna Allah la yuslihu amal al mufsidin. A student who cheats maybe in his examinations, we would tell him, Inna Allah la yuslihu amal al mufsidin. A person who shows one quality on the outside and yet he's something else on the inside, you would tell him, Inna Allah la yuslihu amal al mufsidin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not support the way of those who do wrong. And in the case of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they did wrong to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't support them. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his creation. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam came out unscathed. His patience paid off, and all the evil that the wife of the minister did and the women of the city, what happened? It didn't pay off, and they were actually exposed. So you should remember this ayah, respected elders and brothers, the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not support the way of those who do evil. Our time has unfortunately come to an end. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding. I apologize for the speed that we are going at. As I said, we are pressed for time. If I did say anything wrong in this tafsir, it is from myself and shaitan, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his forgiveness, and everything correct in it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Join me again tomorrow, inshallah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.